Hey, everybody, it's Mike with the Daily BM. On this episode, you will probably not hear my voice very often because Brad goes on a rant about his vacation. Hope you enjoy it. Like and subscribe. And here we go.
Hey, good morning, fuckers. It's another day of the Daily BM. Yippee-ki-yay. Here we are yet again for another awesome episode, I guess.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, sounds like it, doesn't it?
We're back. And it's so, back again.
It's so hard. Now you sound like with a real Slim Shady. Please stand up. Please stand up.
Okay, I will go with that.
Sorry for the late start, guys. We had a late night last night, as you can tell by our enthusiasm that, Mike had to come pick me up at the airport. So the show kicked off a little late today. So if you're listening tonight, hey, guess what? You're first in line. If not, go fuck yourself. We'll see you in the morning. But that all being said, so I went away and took Avilo Airlines out of our hometown, Lakeland, Florida, on a trip. And I can tell you, I was shocked by how well the flight was. But and here we go.
But
there, anytime the people use the word "but," it usually means it's going to be a complaint. So I have just a couple of complaints.
You shocking, Mr.
Well,
Yelper.
The first one is I have to remind myself they are a budget airline, so they're just getting started, pretty much. You know what I mean? And they fly all Boeings, by the way, not Airbuses, because they picked up Southwest Airlines Boeing jets when they got their new fleet, when the Southwest got their new ones now. Mm-hmm. Which are probably way worse. Now they got doors blowing off of them and shit like that. But the plane, I mean, it was a real smooth ride. No complaints there. Pilots did a good job. We had a young pilot on the way there. He was right out of our hometown area. He was a little rough on the landing on the way there, but smooth as a baby's ass as far as flights. It was just as comparable as flying Southwest or any of the other budget carriers.
Right.
Without the fights, which was great. So if you're on, you know, the Greyhound of the skies of Spirit, you always don't know what you're in, what you're going to be expecting because you might get a fist fight or somebody going crazy. But that all being said, it was really smooth. Their app needs a lot of work. I knew we were in trouble when I saw Microsoft was their back end. You know, we've had this conversation before about Microsoft, but, it's a really horrible app and they definitely deserve the rating they got for their app. So that'd be the first thing I would try to fix is their app. It's just all over the place. And it hardly works, just like Microsoft products, guys. And anybody who's on a Windows machine understands that frustration. I would say that'd be the number one thing. But the airports are much smaller, which makes you get through them quicker. I mean, like, there's really no need for TSA pre-check at these smaller airports like this, because you just blow right through the line, unless you just don't want to take your shit off. You know what I mean? Like your shoes and your belt and all that kind of crap. But other than that, no problems there. Lakeland needs a restaurant or something in their, especially your departing terminals. You know, they're missing that restaurant that was there big time when we flew to New Haven, they actually had a bar upstairs in this little tiny airport, which was great, a little small bar, but it was still there. And they had a really good concession, like, stand, you know what I mean? Like with sandwiches, things like that you could get. Lakeland really fell short on our airport for that. So I feel like they could do that better. But you know, like I said, they're just getting started. It's just, you know, they're getting flights coming in from all over the country. You're starting to see, it was a full flight there and a full flight back pretty much.
Oh.
I'd probably say it was about 80% full.
Oh, it was?
The only bad part was, okay, and I know everybody's going to slam me for this, and I don't really care, but the truth just hurts. There is definitely a difference in clientele that fly the budget airlines to the people that fly like Delta and United, things of that nature. They're a little bit more expensive for a reason. My flight there, even though it was like a smooth flight, you know, and everything, I had to listen to a little kid screaming in my fucking ear, which annoys the shit out of me. All right. And then on my way back, I had an old man. I wanted to hand him a bottle of water myself, like go get a bottle of water and like hand it to him.
Was it that bad?
Because he just kept coughing every 3 minutes. I mean, like this is all I heard. Imagine that, dude, for 2.5 hours. Oh, like geez. Right over your shoulder. I was going like this. I literally, and then I look over at my wife, and she had a lady that was fucking huge behind.
Oh, you weren't sitting together?
We both took aisle seats so we could stretch out. Right? Kind of like what you and I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we did the same thing. So we're still right next to each other. I mean, but it's just that we're not on top of each other and we can stretch our legs, you know? Like you can stretch that right leg or she can stretch that left leg right out. But she had this huge lady behind her, you know? And she would lean her big body against her seat and was sleeping like this. Oh, nobody can see me, but basically imagine your hands being on the back of your seat and pressing your fucking head and lifting the seat up.
Oh, that sucks.
So my wife finally had enough. And you know, my wife, dude, she takes her seat and just fucking forces it back and knocks the lady back. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Bitch caught the message, though. You know what I mean? She no longer leaned forward. And, you know, my wife was just like, I got tired of her putting her knees in my back and I got tired of her freaking leaning forward and knocking my seat forward. And it's just rude. You know what I mean? You don't do that shit. You don't grab on the seat in front of you and do shit like that. Right. You know, I don't care. If you weigh 300 pounds, don't sit in an airline seat. You know?
Damn.
I'm sorry, dude. If you're overweight, listen, the seats are already small enough as it is for somebody that's normal.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they can cry and whine all they want. Here we go. Let me get a soapbox moment. And, you know, I don't really care because guess what, guys? I'm still chubby, but I was fat for me, for my size. There's no excuse. There's no excuses. Somebody who is, unless you have a medical condition that keeps you overweight, you have no fucking excuse. And then you want to bitch about the airlines, you know, making their seat. I don't know. Why don't you put the fucking Big Mac down? And then you might be able to fit into a fucking normal seat. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I'm really not. Because I'm getting sick and tired of the entitlement that everybody thinks they're entitled to everything in this fucking country, especially in the United States. You should have seen all the fucking whining going on with all these entitled assholes. You know, I literally was like, I've just really become very observant when I'm out and about.
All right. Bro.
And I'm telling you,
bro,
it is bad out there where people just think everybody owes them something. This lady fucking shit you not, bro. We were coming in for a landing, right? Mm-hmm. Coming in for a landing. When you're coming in for a landing, your cell phone does work.
All right.
She dials out and has a conversation when we're probably about 3.5 miles, 5 miles out from the airport. Like he's coming in the wheel. He just put the gear down. Wow. So she gets on her phone. Hey, what's going on? Yep. Oh yeah. I'll be landing in a few minutes. They're taking it. We're coming down right now. I'm looking back. Like they specifically said on the fucking speaker, right? Yeah. Please turn off all cell phones and make sure they're still in airplane mode.
Yeah.
As it interferes with equipment. I wanted to reach back and throttle this bitch. I'm like, if we crash this plane because your dumbass wants to call your fucking girlfriend and tell her, hey, I'm on a plane. I'm on a fucking plane. Yeah, you fucking hillbilly redneck. Put the fucking phone down and put it in airplane mode like everybody else, you stupid bitch. I mean, that's what I felt like. I was just like, when the fuck do we think that we come first? I mean, you have like probably, you know, 150 souls on that plane or 200, you know what I mean? And you're over here like an asshole putting everybody at risk. I came this close to standing up and turning around and going, you know, you're putting everybody at risk for being on your fucking phone. So hang the fuck up. And I was about to say it because I was just like, and people could go, happened. You can be like, you're over the top. We landed the plane successfully, but still, you get my point. I'm still up here. I'm talking. But it's just irritating. I know, but
what made you not say anything?
Because I was so fucking tired and it was 11:30 at night when we were landing. So I was just like, fuck it. I'm not going to get into it right here and ruin the whole. Because my wife would have been like, why? Why did you say anything at all? You know what I mean? When we're just on the home stretch, so to speak. I'm like, until one wheel doesn't come down because the bitch wasn't fucking, you know, paying attention to details. And then we all skid off the runway and flip and die. Duh. but you know, I mean, it's a little over the top, but I don't know, man, the sense of entitlement to people just kill me. But I had a fun trip, had a good time. It was a good one.
Tell me a little bit about your trip since tell me the good stuff since you were bitching about the bad stuff.
So we went to the Conjuring house, which anybody who's seen the Conjuring, I found out some facts and things like that. The house that's in the movie is totally not the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it has pillars on it in the movie and stuff like that. You saw, I don't know if you saw my pictures I put up on Instagram, but those are the actual, what the Conjuring house looks like. It's like dark. It's made out of wood. You know what I mean? And plaster and things like that. It looks nothing like the one that they had in the movie. There's some other historical, you know, things that they just did for the movie, things of that nature. Oh, they put like the what's his name? The main guy, the husband, was like super nice to the Warrens when they came to the house and all shit. No, yeah. Dude, he fucking despised them. He didn't even want them there.
Oh, the Warrens?
He didn't want them there. He thought they were full of shit. Yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So that was all movie theatrics. You know, we were getting the whole grand tour of this thing. So it was definitely interesting. I felt a little like something was on that second floor. Didn't feel like anything was in the rest of the house. I wasn't connecting, right? But it was a good time. I could say, hey, I went to the Conjuring house, you know, seen the Conjuring movies. Yeah, cool. You know, whatever. Trees were fantastic. We ended up going the following night to the Lizzie Borden house. Lizzie Borden, 40 wax with an axe, blah, 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 whatever. But we did a actual, basically, kind of a 2-hour lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
So we were there till like from 10 p.m. to midnight. We had 2 hours to be locked down with equipment. So we had EVP. We had the, what do they call those rods? Where you can crisscross the rods and say yes or no questions to spirits. Oh, God. I don't want to say dowsing rods, but I forget what the hell they're called.
Is that what they're called?
Is they called dowsing rods? Maybe they're called dowsing rods. So anyway, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Sorry. I mean, obviously, I'm a novice ghost hunter. I'm not Zach Bagan. So, hey, or Bagan, however the fuck you say his name. So, just deal with it. So went down into the basement. So we started in the basement. And that house, actually, I felt shit. And I literally was down there communicating with one with those rods. And, you know, I don't cheat, dude. I just hold them straight out. I don't move. I try not to flex. Nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got a bunch of yes or no questions.
Oh, you did? You know?
Oh, yeah. And then so that one was creepy. I felt something because then when I stopped with the rods, I handed them off to somebody else. Everybody left the room. It's just me and the wife in the one in the basement in this one room. And I literally thought my wife was talking to me, but come to find out it was just garbled voice in my ear because I said, did you just say something? She's like, no. I said, be quiet. And I heard it again. So I'm like looking around. I'm like, hey, let's get the hell out of this basement. You know what I mean? Because we're down here in this corner by ourselves. Let's move, you know? So that was pretty creepy. But then that night we got back to the hotel. It's about 3 a.m. I'm sound asleep, dude. I'm having this, I had this nightmare and I never wail out in my sleep. Like, I literally, that's what it sounded like. According to my wife, I was like, well, does that sound like I'm having a good time or what? But yeah. She was like, no, you basically wailed out in fear and told me that you would tell me about it in the morning. Well, come to find out I had like, I was having this dream and there was a white image of a lady like in a white dress in the window and she pokes her head into the side and looks at me through the window and then I jumped because I wasn't expecting to see this image come into the window and then she pulled her head back like almost like how you see those shadow figures look in and then they look out, you know what I mean, and they disappear behind the wall. That's basically what happened, but with the white dress, like ghostly white dress on. So come to find out the lady next door, Jamie said, didn't you pay attention upstairs when he was telling the final thing about like the things that go on? I was like, no, I didn't listen at that point. I was just looking at the dowsing rods fucking around. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. There was a lady that lived next door that had always was wearing white. And they said they saw her in a white dress in that house. Swear.
Wow.
In the Lizzie Borden house. And I was like, okay, that's fucking weird that I had that dream. You know, and they say that you cross over
oh, there's a portal?
Mentally, portals into different dimensions while you're sleeping. And then you come back into your body. So, like, you leave your body. So, it made sense. And that maybe it was a way for which she was communicating with me. And I was like, well, please don't talk to me anymore because I don't want to talk about you no more. So,
that's creepy.
So, that was creepy. And then after that, we did, we went to this restaurant. And this is going to be a bitch fest episode. I'm sorry. And guys, because I'm sure everybody can fucking relate to me when I say this, okay? When you go to a restaurant and you have a bad meal, right? You don't act like an asshole. Because you can get your point across to a manager or an employee without being an asshole. So we go to this restaurant. It's called the Mill something. And food was pretty decent. It wasn't bad at all. But anyway, so we go to this restaurant and these two douchebags are sitting in line. This old guy, you could tell he was one of those guys that thinks he's just high and mighty. Slick back, gray hair, like slick back. Columbia jacket with shorts. It's 55 degrees out. He has shorts on with loafers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Typical rich guy, right? Hey, man, talking about this loud, you know, being as loud as shit, talking about how Trump is awesome and, you know, this country's fucked if we, you know, just being a loudmouth, right? Uh-huh. So Jamie and I are like, man, we hope we aren't sitting next to this motherfucker. So they go in before us, right? Oh, Lord behold. No. Mikey puts it right next to us. And I stand up because I'm like, I'm not sitting next to this dude. Because he likes to hear himself talk. He didn't take a single breath, right, while he was standing up front. So my wife gets up and grabs the server and says, here's $20, move me. And the guy heard her. and she fucking moved us because at first she was like, I can't move you guys. My wife goes, there's $20 in it for you right here. She goes, I'm not sitting next to this guy. I just smiled because I was like, damn, that's my girl right there, man. And she fucking just owned it, dude. Savaged this motherfucker. We go to the other side of the room. And what happens? We sit next to, again, I'm sorry. I know I feel like I'm shot. I feel like I'm fat shaming because I kind of am. So this guy, he weighs about 600 pounds. He's sitting at the fucking table and he starts bitching at the server. Where's Alfredo or Frado or whatever his fucking name is, the server? And the lady's like, I don't know. I'm just delivering his drinks. And she goes, well, he goes, this is the wrong drinks. He goes, I've already had a wrong fucking meal once. And he starts like losing his shit, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, he presses his finger down into the filet. This is cold. Cold as ice. So she takes it back. The manager walks over. He gives this manager so much shit. He goes, look at this. Because the manager brings him another steak. Right. As he walks over and he's like, hey, I'm really sorry. Let me take care of that. You know, hey, let me go. And he goes, I don't even want it. He goes, look right here. He sticks his finger in the new steak.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, sir, how did you order it? He goes, I'm just asking so I can talk to the kitchen. And he's like, medium rare. He goes, look at how cold that is. He goes, like, you know, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And I could see the steam coming off of it, dude. I know it wasn't fucking cold. He was just being an asshole at this point. Right. You know what I mean? And he literally goes like this. So he's talking to the manager. The manager's doing everything he can. He's handling it beautifully, right?
Right, right.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
The guy says to him, you know, I was a chef and, you know, for this amount of time, blah, 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 blah. And I worked in the industry. He's one of those guys, right? Stiffs the server with zero tip, right?
Uh-huh.
Gets a free meal. It all paid for. Stiff the server, eats the fucking shit, gets a loaf of this fucking raisin bread to take home with him, right? A whole loaf.
No shit. No, by the way,
that cinnamon raisin bread was fucking delicious, by the way. Amazing.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I'm not fucking with you. Takes it home, stiffs the server. So I said, I hit the server up with $20. I was like, hey, what was this tab? He goes, it was like $100-something, you know? I said, hey, man, here's $20. I just did it out of my pocket. I was like, fuck it. I was like, and then check this out. Then the guy gave the fucking manager $50 to be an asshole.
Right.
About the server.
Oh, my God.
So I said, man, I said, damn. I said, he gave you 50. He goes, yeah. He goes, but I'm going to give it to my server. So the server walks by, goes, here, take this. And he goes, you sure, man? I don't want to take it. Then he's like, no, take it. Because he knows he makes good money. You know what I mean? So he was like, the server was like, thank you and thank you. And like, I mean, I was like, that guy was an asshole. I was like, he should know better. Number one, why would you tell the manager, stick his finger in your fucking steak? Look, feel it. I'd be like, I'm not sticking my finger in that fucking thing. I'd be like, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
Well, with medium rare, you're going to have a cool
red center. Thank you.
Cool red center. So.
Yes. I was like, it's supposed to be cold, you dipshit. And if you got it rare, it's cold on the inside, like ice cold. Yep. They just smack it down two sides, get it a little brown, and boom, and out the door it goes.
Yeah.
I'm like, how about you try medium next time if it's not hot enough for you, you fucking douche. But anyway, That's how I feel about that shit. That was my trip. You know, we went to a bunch of cool freaking state parks and shit.
Right.
Saw the leaf changes. That was the one reason why we went up there for the weekend. But I can tell you, I would definitely fly a Velo again. The airline itself gets probably a 90 out of 100 as far as how well everything went. They can't help what if the airports aren't prepared for their rental cars being rented. The one thing I can tell you is that what Lakeland does superior is that they don't charge for parking yet. Because New Haven charges $30 a day. A day. If you're going to park at their airport, it's $30 a day. So kudos for the Lakeland for making it easy for people flying, you know, that are flying out from here that live local, you know, or around or locally around here. They're not, they don't charge anyone yet. Mark my word. That'll happen.
Yeah, they will eventually. Once they get out of business, they'll start charging them. Once it becomes, you know, more flown. I mean, they're just trying to get up and running now. And the flights will probably get more expensive too once more people start using them.
Well, it's just like anything. When Southwest did, they did the same thing Avilo did. But you know what? I would still fly out of Lakeland before I drive to Tampa. Seriously. If they've got like they're adding routes all the time. Like they have San Juan, Puerto Rico, they're getting ready to come out of Lakeland. They just brought in Rochester, New York to Lakeland. So now you can fly right there. If you want to go to Niagara Falls, you can go to Rochester, drive 45 minutes and you could be right there in Niagara Falls. So they're smart with their strategically putting them in these smaller airports that are just right there big enough to get. But I will tell you this, you know what fucking made me nervous as fuck? The runway at fucking New Haven is short as fuck.
Oh, really?
Dude. So when I tell you they get on it from the get-go, they get on it with those planes and they go airborne real fast. Like I went like this. I don't understand how they're getting that big fat bitch off the ground when that short. It's like literally probably half the length of Lakeland's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they get that big ass Boeing 730, those 737s off that runway fast. And when I tell you that they hit those fucking reverse, when they reverse thrust, you know, to slow the plane down and hit the brakes, it's literally almost at the end of the runway.
Oh my God. Seriously?
when they stop, they're almost like, there's probably about maybe 100 feet away from where you run out of runway. So you damn well better get it right. You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. If you overshoot that runway, you're going to do a touch and go and you're going to get back up in the air real quick. And then you're going to circle back around and try again. And that's how that was with that dude, man, that young kid. I felt like, oh my God, this guy is struggling to get this fat ass on the ground. You know what I mean? And I was like, I could see their faces. Everybody's in panic mode. And I'm just kind of smiling, laughing because after you and I flew in those bush wheels, you know, it was like, this turbulence ain't nothing yet. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I was like, him fucking fighting these crosswinds ain't nothing. I've been blown around, fucking dropping 6 feet, you know, 8 feet. I was like, and it feels probably like, you know, 1,000 feet in a jumbo, in a jet that has bad turbulence, you know, I would assume because it's bigger. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it'd be a little bit more to force it downward. You know, I mean, it'd have to be really some bad turbulence. But these days, man, they do a really good job avoiding that shit because, you know, everybody radios ahead and says, hey, there's turbulence here. You might want to steer off and, you know, go around it, you know, or whatever it is, or you're going to have to go over it. But anyway, sorry, man. I talked the whole fucking show. You're just, yes, yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. It was good.
I bet you did.
It was a nice break.
And welcome to the Brad Garrett Experience. And I really appreciate you joining me on today's episode. And Mike, as my producer, just kind of sat there with a toothpick and just, you know, worked while I was doing this.
Yeah.
So,
kick back, got to relax, got to listen to you, bitch, like normal. Everybody gets to, everybody gets a preview of what my normal day goes like with talking to Brad.
Go fuck yourself. Anyway, hey, listen, guys, don't forget. Next Monday, we will be releasing – oh, actually, we will have a guest on the show. She is a mental health expert, so she will be – it'll be actually 2 weeks from now. Not this Monday coming up, but the second Monday. I think November, 11th, right?
Is when she'll air. Something like that.
Yeah, so then after that, on the 18th, I believe, of November, we will have Justin with La Vida Liverpool coming from Liverpool, England on the show. So stay tuned to those. Don't forget, head over to thedailybm.com where you can follow us on all our socials as well. And don't forget, you get 20% off just by simply using the promo code DAILYBM over at masondangerbeardco.com. Mikey, got anything before we get out of here?
No. I don't have any questions.
You have anything to add today?
Nope. I was just happy I got to show up.
All right, guys. We'll see you next Monday. And we'll catch you on the flip side.
All right. Have a good one.
Deuces.